Welcome to today's Journal of Nutrition Education and Behavior Journal Club webinar. My name is Rachel Dager. I'm the Executive Director of SNEB and glad you're joining us. Today is the first in our fall semester series. We are celebrating the International Year of Fruits and Vegetables. So as just a reminder, as the official peer-reviewed journal of the Society for Nutrition Education and Behavior, JNEB advances nutrition education behavior related research, practice, and policy. The Fall Journal Club series is sponsored by JNEB's publisher, Elsevier. And so if you're not a member of SNEB, then we say welcome. Access to live and recorded webinars is a benefit of membership. If you are a member, the Elsevier is providing a coupon code for free access to journal clubs. So if you're on the SNEB website, there should be the coupon code listed. So be sure to share that with students or anyone you think who would enjoy this series. All right, so a little bit of housekeeping to get us started. If you go to look in the GoToWebinar tool panel, you should see the slides for today's presentation. We will take questions at the end of the presentation, so please type those in the question block so we can moderate those to our speaker today. When the webinar ends, you'll be prompted to complete a short survey. We appreciate your feedback on this session as well as ideas for future webinars. And then we are recording today, so watch for an email before the end of the week, which includes the link to the recording, as well as the CEU certificate that you're earning for your attendance today. So I will turn things over to our moderator. A huge thank you to Dr. Kristen DiFilippo, who's the teaching assistant professor at the University of Illinois. Kristen helps organize the journal club sessions, and we appreciate her effort in doing that.
Thank you, Rachel. It's great to be back and see everybody for the fall. Today we have our first speaker, Sujata Dixit Joshi. Dr. Dixit Joshi is a senior nutritionist and study director at WESTAT. She has participated in research and evaluation of USDA's food and nutrition programs. She was the deputy project director of the FINI grant evaluation. And so at this point, I can turn it over to her. And if you have questions, go ahead and type those in the question box and I will moderate those back to her at the end. So thank you, Dr. Dixit Joshi.
Thank you. I am struggling with my screen. I don't know what you can see. I had this figured out, so please bear with me while I work through this. Maybe Rachel, you can help me again because.
Okay, I was gonna say it was correct a second ago. So if you wanna switch them back again, because right now we see the notes.
Okay, so.
There you go, that one's correct.
Oh, okay, good. This is perfect, thank you. So let me get started. Thank you, Kristen and Rachel, for inviting us to this webinar. I want to say a warm hello to everyone and thank SNEB for the opportunity to share the findings from the FINI evaluation through this platform. I am Sujata Dixit Joshi, and I'm presenting on behalf of the entire team that was involved in this research. I want to state that the FINI National Evaluation was led by Dr. Tracy Vericker here at WESTAT, and the USDA FNS Project Officer on this was Eric Sean Williams. So I'm acknowledging their contributions to this as well. The findings that I'm sharing with you today are actually provided in a, oops, I'm sorry, I don't know what that did. I'm gonna turn off my, yep, okay. The findings that I'm sharing with you today are a small piece of the national evaluation, but they are the crux of the outcome evaluation. And these were published in the Journal of Nutrition Education and Behavior. The giveaway or the punchline for this before I even get started is that the evaluation found that the point of sale monetary incentives increased monthly household fruit and vegetable expenditure for three of the four intervention groups. But even though I'm giving you away the outcome, I'm hoping you'd stay to listen to the whole story so that I can share the exciting findings that we have from this project. Okay, so the report, the previous slide showed you the manuscript that was published, and it just has one small piece of the evaluation. If you're interested in additional evaluation findings, they are actually contained in the interim report, which is available to you from the USDA website. This report included the process evaluation findings as well and had a lot more information on the outcome evaluation. The report that came after this, or the final report, focused more on the process evaluation findings, and it's currently under clearance. So I hope that once it's out, many of you will take the time to take a look and review it. So just going through the housekeeping type items, I'd like to just have a disclaimer that the project was funded by the USDA Food and Nutrition Service, but the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of the authors, and they should not be constructed to represent any official USDA or US government determination on policy. The way I structured this presentation is just a quick first slide on the competencies covered through this, and then I'll go through the overview of the FINE National of the FINE program, followed by the FINE evaluation objectives and research design or evaluation design, and then go through the findings. And I'm going to actually merge the findings along with the discussion so that it's a comprehensive results and why we see what we see or why we don't see what we expected, followed by conclusions and policy implications. So please feel free to ask questions through the mechanism suggested, and we can address them at the end. So this was a really hard one for me to figure out the nutrition educator competencies, because a lot of this is program evaluation, and I'm hoping that these work for most of you, where the first one is to describe the history, purpose, funding of key pieces of legislation to authorize FINE, and the research to address malnutrition and food security, because an explicit objective of FINE was to reduce food insecurity and promote health through consumption and purchases of fruits and vegetables. The second part is to design a process and outcome evaluation, which is what the FINE evaluation did, and it's based on the behavior change mediator's conceptual framework. And then the last one is to analyze and evaluate the research that we've done. It's not necessarily nutrition education, but it's research to improve food insecurity and promote health so that we can apply it to a larger scale. Moving on, this is the overview of the FINE program. The 2014 Farm Bill, which is the PL 113-79, or the Agriculture Act of 2014, established the FINE program. And it was collaboratively administered by the USDA and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which is the NIFA. So at that point, there were two entities that were involved in the implementation. NIFA was actually responsible for managing the grants, and the role of USDA was to conduct the national evaluation of the grants awarded by NIFA. The program was subsequently extended through the 2018 Farm Bill through fiscal year 2019 through 2023. And there was a substantial gain in the program funding as well for the next 5 years. What I'm presenting to you today are the findings from the national evaluation of the FINE grant, because the 2018 grant changed it to the SNIP program, and I'm not covering that. So this is the national evaluation of the FINE grant funded through 2017-2018. The purpose of FINE was to increase the fruit and vegetable purchases among supplemental nutrition assistance or SNAP program participants by providing them with a point of sale incentive at the point of purchase. So whenever they came in to a FINE authorized retailer, they either got a discount or vouchers for purchasing fruits and vegetables. And we can talk a little bit more about that if anybody's interested. So the secondary objective of FINE was also to develop replicable and effective as well as efficient technologies for incentive redemption. And to this end, between 2015 and 2017, which is the findings I'm presenting you with, NIFA released 4 RFAs, one in each year, 2015, 16, 17, and 18. And through all of these grants, they awarded a lot of money. It was close to $90 million to various entities to design and implement FINE program. I'll share more specifics about the grants in a minute. And so everybody, the first thing might consider is, how does the program or how did NIFA define fruits and vegetables, if that's what people are interested in? So to get that out of the way, the grant program defined fruits and vegetables as any variety of fresh, canned, dried, or frozen, whole or cut fruits and vegetables without added sugar, without added oil, or without added fat and salt. So those were the four additions or removal in the context of fruits and vegetables. So while you could get canned, you could not get the sodium variety. You had to get the no salt added varieties. And the dried as well as frozen had those requirements. So I want to take a minute to just talk about the background as to how did FINNE come into being. And prior to FINNE, USDA had actually designed the Healthy Incentive Pilot that I'm hoping many of you are familiar with. But the Healthy Incentive Pilot was funded or established through the Food Conservation and Energy Act of 2008. And the Healthy Incentive Pilot was designed as a pilot program to assess the impact of making fruit and vegetable purchases more affordable by offering a point of sale financial incentive. So the concept is pretty similar between FINNE and its predecessor, the Healthy Incentive Pilot. The key difference is that Healthy Incentive Pilot was a pilot and it was implemented in one state, in one county. So it was in Hampden County, Massachusetts. And between November 2011 and December 2012, FINNE Healthy Incentive Pilot randomized 7,500 SNAP households into a treatment or a intervention or comparison group and provided them with incentives. The incentive was offering a 30-cent incentive on every SNAP dollar that they spent on targeted fruits and vegetables at SNAP authorized retailers. And so these retailers were selected for taking part in the Healthy Incentive Pilot. And what the researchers found is that the HIP participants consumed about 0.26 more cups of targeted fruits and vegetables per day compared to non-participants. And the HIP evaluation findings were very encouraging to suggest that it is possible to offer a point of sale incentive and see changes in purchase as well as consumption behaviors. So the limitation of the pilot was that it was just that. And FINNE, therefore, was authorized by Congress in 2014 to support nutrition incentive programs for fruit and vegetable purchases on a much larger scale. I'd like to take a minute to walk through the conceptual framework for FINNE. I'm going from left to right. On the left is the big FINNE box. And FINNE sought to directly reduce the effective price of fruits and vegetables of SNAP households at the point of sale. So a reduction in the price would allow SNAP participants to increase the type as well as the amount of fruits and vegetable purchases, thereby making it favorable for them to shift their attitudes as well as consumption behaviors, including purchase actually, attitudes, purchase, and consumption behavior towards fruits and vegetables. So the concept is that specifically lowering the price of fruits and vegetables affects relative prices, which should increase the demand for the produce, which is called the demand effect. This reduction in price could also increase the buying power of the SNAP benefits that households could use to purchase more fruits and vegetables or any other SNAP eligible item, which is the income effect. So the increase in demand could therefore result in greater availability of fruits and vegetables at participating retailer, thereby changing the food retailer environment. Changes in the SNAP household expenditure on fruits and vegetables might then translate to an increase in fruit and vegetable consumption as well as overall diet and therefore reduce food insecurity. While this is a very simplistic conceptual framework, in reality, specifically in the context of FINNE, the grantees were given latitude in how they implemented the price discounts. And how the price discounts were provided might actually have a big impact on how the point of sales discounts are taken up by the consumer, And some of them might provide a voucher for later use, or some of them might provide an immediate discount, which might actually have an impact on purchasing behaviors as well as consumption behaviors. And these are just things to consider as you think through the conceptual framework. And the reason for emphasizing it is that the conceptual framework presents the best case scenario, but in reality, it may not translate it to the expected level of behavior change. So I'm stepping back again to the national evaluation. So there's the FINI grant program operated by NIFA, which I will talk about again in a minute. And then FNS was responsible for undertaking the FINI national evaluation. And the national evaluation was awarded to Vestat. There were four specific national evaluation objectives. The first one was the process evaluation. The second was the outcome, which I'll talk about later. And then there was a comparative analysis and technical assistance. The first three evaluation objectives centered around understanding implementation of FINI and how it might have the desired outcome, while the fourth evaluation objective is the technical assistance, which was to support consistent implementation of evaluation protocol. So this technical assistance was not in the context of how to implement FINI or how do you address challenges in implementation. It was explicitly focused at supporting consistent evaluation protocols, such as if grantees required specific tools to measure their outcomes, they might come with questions on what is the best available scale for a particular measure that they are interested in, or use of existing instruments that they could use for their own evaluations. So stepping back then, the process evaluation, the purpose of it was to assess how FINI grantees implemented their project, as well as the facilitators and barriers to implementation, as well as the strategies that they used to overcome their implementation challenges. Again, a lot of the process evaluation findings will be presented in the final report, which is currently under clearance and review. The comparative analysis was to examine the program features across all of the grantees that were associated with incentive distribution and redemption. And this specific analysis examined the trends in incentive issuance and redemption by examining the retailer type and operating quarter. So grantees who had completed their FINI grant by 2017 or 2018, when the analysis was being done, were included in this comparative analysis, and we examined the total incentives that they had offered and the total incentives redeemed relative to their budget that they had planned for the incentives. And again, the results of the comparative analysis are going to be in the final report. So now let's step back to the outcome evaluation. And I've already talked about the awards that are included in here in the grant program, and I've mentioned that grantees had the latitude to implement the incentive projects that fit their community needs. So this is a map that shows where the FINI program was implemented. And at the time of the outcome evaluation, which is September 2017, FINI had been implemented at over 2,600 retailers in 38 states plus the District of Columbia. And the blue dots represent where the FINI retailers are located. I want to just say that I'm focused at the presentation of the outcome evaluation, but it's important to understand who the FINI retailers are. So most of the FINI retailers that were implementing the program were farmers markets, about 62% of them, followed by grocery stores, about 17%. The rest of them were comprised of mobile markets, direct marketing farmers, and community-supported agriculture. So in a sense, these were all direct marketing or farmer-type venues that they had, except for mobile markets. So FINI actually funded three types of projects. They funded pilot programs, community programs, and large-scale projects. The national evaluation included only grantees that were recipients of community as well as large-scale grants. So now coming to the crux of the outcome evaluation. The purpose of the outcome evaluation was to examine the effect of point-of-sale incentives on fruit and vegetable purchases and consumption of SNAP participants. So to this end, we first examined SNAP participants' awareness as well as receipt of incentives. And then we examined the impact of FINI on their household monthly expenditure per month and daily cup equivalent of consumption at the individual level, which is the respondent level. When many aspects of fruits and vegetable purchases and consumptions were estimated for this study, some would likely appear significant. And so we had very specifically said that these are the two main outcome interests. We also looked at some other types of consumption as well as purchase variables that I'm not going to be talking about, but they include things such as the types, frequency, and amount of fruits and vegetables purchased by the participants. So then the design that we used for this one was a quasi-experimental pre-test, post-test design, and we had a matched comparison group. We actually had four intervention groups and four comparison groups for this study. This allowed us to observe the share of observed changes because that were attributable to FINI versus the changes that were reflected in the general trends among a similar group of households that was not receiving FINI. We did a baseline survey and a follow-up survey, and the difference between the baseline survey and the follow-up survey was about 6 months. And we administered a multi-mode survey for this study. I'll talk about that in a minute. So as I said, we had four groups of intervention groups, and we used propensity scoring to create matched comparison groups for each one of those. There were three specific criteria that we used to select the participants. The first one was that we used the SNAP data, actually. We used the SNAP transaction data to identify these participants, and USDA provided us with this information. And the criteria for selecting these was based on first identifying the FINI retailers and drawing a radius around them. The radius in urban areas was 7 miles and it was 16 miles in rural areas. So that was the proximity of the residents of these participants to a given farmer's market or a grocery store. The second consideration was, did they shop at the sampled market or grocery store, or did they not shop at that? And then the third one was the proximity of a FINI participating market or a grocery store. And the difference between the first and the third one was that we wanted to eliminate areas where there was a sampled non-FINI store next to a sampled FINI store, because we knew that people don't necessarily shop at the sampled store. They might shop at other places as well. So those were our three criteria. And so the way we selected these four groups or created them is two of them were for farmers markets and two of them were for grocery stores. Each of the farmers market and grocery store cluster had a general group and a shopper group. So the general group was those who lived near a sampled market. And the shopper group was those who lived near the sampled FINI retailer and who had shopped there in the prior year. So the same thing was for the grocery store general and the grocery store shopper group. The general group was people who lived near the sample store, and the shopper group was those who lived near it and who had shopped there in the prior year. So that was our criteria. And similarly, if you think about the comparison group then, it was not a FINI retailer. It was a non-FINI retailer, but the criteria was still the same, that they lived near it, but they had not shopped there before, or they had shopped there before. So we executed the survey through three channels. We sent an invitation to participants and we sent them a hard copy survey. They had the option of completing the survey by web through hard copy survey, and non-respondents were followed up by phone. We created three versions of the survey. We had a baseline survey, which was the same for the intervention and the comparison groups, but the follow-up surveys were slightly different than the baseline survey. And there was one key difference between the survey for the intervention and the comparison group. The intervention group survey included one additional module to address questions about FINI awareness and use, and that was not included in the comparison group survey. So the baseline survey was conducted between February and May of 2017. We mailed close to 9,000 surveys and we received 4,177 completes. For every survey that was returned, we then followed up with those participants in August through November timeframe, and we received a little over 3,300 completes. We then looked through the responses to various items and the completeness of the surveys. We also looked to see that the participants who had returned the surveys were actually on SNAP at baseline and follow-up, because the incentive program was limited only to those who were receiving SNAP for the entire duration. We also, those were considered ineligible. We also excluded participants who had moved out of the area because the sample was built by the geography, as I had told you, which took into account the proximity to the sampled retailer. And then the data collection procedures were exactly the same for both the intervention and the control group. We created sample weights. We had very little non-response rate at the item level, but our analytic sample got reduced from little over 3,300 to 2,471 completed surveys. We did descriptive analysis, bivariate analysis, and OLS regressions to examine the outcome variables, and our regression analysis controlled for demographic characteristics of the participants as well as outcomes at baseline. One additional thing that we control for is prior receipt of SNAP-based incentives, because although FINI offered incentives at farmers markets and grocery stores, many of the farmers markets, which were the predominant retailer type for FINI, had offered SNAP-based incentives even prior to FINI, and many stores were still implementing it, but not necessarily a part of FINI. So we had to control for that critical variable so that we could adjust for our interpretation accordingly. So moving on to the fun stuff here, this slide is talking through how we assessed awareness of FINI. And this question was asked only for those in the intervention group, because we had a separate module for this. And we asked, the survey asked, have you heard of FINI? And the FINI was actually changed to reflect the program name that the grantees had provided us for the FINI retailer where they were implementing it. So for example, this might have said, have you heard of the Double Up Food Bucks? And that way the participant could latch on and understand it, because FINI by itself is not very clearly understood. And then if they said they had heard of the Double Up Food Bucks, for example, we asked them a follow-up to say, have you ever received Double Up Food Bucks? So these are the two measures of awareness and receipt. And you can understand that if you're talking about explaining or understanding expenditure and consumption, you need to make sure that your participants are actually aware and are receiving FINI. So this was the starting point for our analysis. The way we measured expenditures is by including a question on the survey, which said, please estimate your household's usual monthly expenses for fruits and vegetables. And we provided them with the definition of fruits and vegetables so that it included fresh, frozen, canned, dried fruits and vegetables. And you notice that we did not specifically say all of the caveats that the USDA had put in for fruit and vegetables, which is no added salt, no added sugar, and so on and so forth. We just used a clean definition. So that's what we are assessing. The item non-response for this particular variable was high, so we developed non-response weights for analysis to control for the potential non-randomness in response versus non-response. And we also excluded outliers. We defined outliers as values that were more than three times the interquartile range of expenditure for each study group. So we did not pool everything, but we looked at data at the study group level. And then we looked at the impact of FINI using intent to treat analysis approach and compared all treatment group observations with all comparison group observations to measure the average effect of FINI on all treatment group participants in the sample. So the respondents to the survey that we sent out were The respondents were primarily female. More than two-thirds of our respondents were female. About 80% of them were unmarried. They were either widowed, divorced, separated, or had never married. They had attained high school education or above. More than half of them were not employed, and around one-fifth to one quarter were employed or working, depending on the study group and treatment status. This suggests that there were some differences in participation in labor force across the four groups. And more than half of them had their annual income to be less than 100,000, and fewer than 3% had income more than 40,000 or more. This is an annual income indicator. And so these demographic characteristics, or most of the demographic characteristics that we examined, were pretty consistent across the four study groups. So now the fun stuff, which is what we found. And so what we found is that awareness of FINI and receipt and use of FINI were relatively low across three of the four study groups. And you can see that the farmers market general, the grocery store general, and the grocery store shopper group had lower levels of awareness, as well as lower levels of receipt of incentives. In FINI for the point of sale incentives. SNAP participant in the treatment group who were aware of FINI were asked to tell us how easy it was to understand how the program worked. And the majority of them said it was actually fairly easy or somewhat easy to understand how the program worked. SNAP participants in the treatment group were self-reporting their receipt. So it is possible that they may not have been aware that they were getting an incentive depending on the type of program that was operated at the grant program. But regardless, in this particular slide, you can see that receipt of incentives trailed awareness of incentives. And those in the grocery store shopper group had the largest gap, whereas those in the farmers market shopper group had the least amount of gap, where 68% were aware and about 58% actually received the incentives. And we were actually curious to see what were the drivers of incentive receipt. If you're aware of incentives, why aren't you receiving it? And what we found is that we used regression analysis for this, and what we found is that the primary determinant of receipt of incentive is the number of sources from whom you hear about the program. And in each study group, the more the number of sources from which you heard about FINI, the more likely you were to actually receive FINI. Each additional source of information increased the likelihood of receiving incentives, and the average increase by source varied between about 13% in one group to about 31% in the other. So that's a fairly substantive contribution. And I will talk specifically about the sources of information for FINI for these participants. So the most common source of information for FINI varied depending on the type of group you were in. And these are the farmers market shoppers and the grocery store shoppers. These are the people who are actually living near a retailer and have shopped there previously. So for them, word of mouth was the most common source of information. The farmers market general group and the grocery store general group are the people who are living near a retailer, but they may not have shopped there. And for them, direct marketing was the most common source of information. And so direct marketing is just printed materials such as letters, handouts, or email that were sent through other sources. And it is possible that these estimates are a little bit off, because I do have the other sources of information showing up at about 14-15%. And these other sources include sources such as the local chamber of commerce, local government offices such as the Department of Family Services and Senior Center, and so on and so forth. And the reason why we were unable to take this and regroup them into other sources is because we did not know if these sources would comprise of word of mouth, or was it direct marketing, such as something emailed from them, or a billboard or banner or something like that. So there are other sources which might actually most likely fall into the word of mouth or direct marketing categories, but we did not do that. So, did I sleep? Yeah. So now let's get to the results of FINI on the fruit and vegetable expenditure. And Finney had a considerable positive impact on the monthly household expenditure for fruits and vegetables for three of the four groups. The group that did not have any impact was the farmers market general group, or the people who lived near a farmers market but had not shopped there. So you can look at the magnitude of impact. The farmers market shopper group respondents had increased their fruit and vegetable expenditure by about $15 a month. The grocery store general group had increased their expenditure by about $9.37. And the grocery store shopper group increased their expenditure by about close to $10. When you look at it as a percentage of the baseline monthly fruit and expenditure, the incentives increased the average monthly fruit and vegetable expenditure by about 16% for the farmers market shopper group and about 12% or 14% for the grocery store general and the grocery store shopper group respectively. So it was 12 for the GSG and 14% for the GSS group. The average non-regression adjusted baseline monthly expenditures, if you were curious, can then be calculated based on that. And they were about $59. So there was like a $10 difference for the farmers market. I shouldn't say $10 difference. It was $59 for the farmers market general, $107 for the farmers market shoppers, $70 for the grocery store general, and $60 for the grocery store shopper group. The Finney program did not have any impact on the fruit and vegetable expenditure in the farmers market general group, as I said. And as you might have seen it in the previous slide that I shared, but it may have skipped it and I may not have emphasized it enough. But the farmers market general group had very low awareness of Finney as well as receipt of incentives. Why don't I just switch to that slide so you can see it? So this is the farmers market general group, and it was 30% of them were aware, and only 14.6% had received it. So it is likely that this impact that we are seeing, or the lack of impact we are seeing for fruit and vegetable expenditure, is driven by the lack of awareness and receipt of incentives. I want to actually take this moment to just also think about other reasons why these expenditures may be different. It is possible that SNAP participants may be using, actually I'm going to talk about that later, so let me pause for a minute. I want to now emphasize that these changes in expenditures are greater than those that were noted in the healthy incentive pilot that I was talking about. In the healthy incentive pilot, participating households earned about $3.65 in incentives each month and spent about $6.15 more than non-HIP households on fruit and vegetable expenditure. And we think that the differences between the HIP study and our study is attributable to differences in program structure and the evaluation methods that were used for the analysis. The HIP incentive was provided as a credit on the EBT card that could potentially be spent on any SNAP eligible purchases in the future. So it went back on their EBT card. Whereas for Finney, they were provided either as point of sale discounts or tokens that were redeemable now or at subsequent purchases. And the methodological difference between HIP and us was that we were asking participants to self-report their fruit and vegetable expenditure. HIP actually had a back-end tie into the transaction database, so they could actually monitor the expenditures and be more accurate with that. So the higher post-Finney expenditure, however, suggests that the point of sale incentives are actually an effective approach to making fruit and vegetables more affordable to low-income households. The results from our study also suggest that SNAP participants are actually using the incentives to offspend their spending on other SNAP eligible purchases, therefore not utilizing their incentives to purchase fruits and vegetables. What I mean by that is that in this particular study, 1 in 5 respondents in most of the groups said that they were now spending more money on other products because of the Finney program. And what that suggests is that there might be a consumption threshold for fruits and vegetables in the household, and they might actually be using the Finney money, so to speak, to buy fruits and vegetables and then saving the SNAP money to buy other preferred SNAP eligible products. And so that's probably what might be going on. And we also noticed that about one quarter to one half of the SNAP participants in all of the four study groups reported spending less of their own money on fruits and vegetables as a result of FINNY, suggesting they might actually now be able to do other things with their SNAP and then freeing up their own money to SNAP it on to spend it on non-food purchases. However, a high percentage in our study also indicated they were not sure of the impact of FINNY on their fruit and vegetable expenditure. So we need to be mindful about how we interpret these results. The FINNY program as a secondary objective did not have any impact on the type, variety, or frequency of fruits and vegetables purchased by participants. This was not published in the paper, but this finding that I'm sharing with you on the screen is actually contained in the report. The FINNY program did not have any measurable impact on the daily consumption of fruit and vegetable for any of the four study groups. This consumption measure was actually collected using the fruit and vegetable screener, which was the NCI's all-day fruit and vegetable screener, asking respondents how frequently ate the specified item in the last month and the average portion size of the item that they had eaten. And they estimated their consumption from raw, cooked, as well as mixed with other food forms. And we used the NCI scoring algorithm to calculate the average daily cup equivalence of fruits and vegetables consumed by the respondent. So the majority of the SNAP participants in three of the four study groups were showing low level of awareness of the FINNY program and relatively few received incentives. And additionally, while FINNY was found to have small impact on fruit and vegetable expenditure for three of the four study groups, these impacts are at the household level. And when you take that purchase at the household level and spread it across individuals, it is possible that there might either be very small amount that might make it to the individual, or the respondent may not be the beneficiary of the program. They might be purchasing fruits and vegetables for other members of the household, such as children or elderly or something, but we did not examine those. And so those food distribution or intra-household food distribution patterns might have diluted the consumption effects that we were trying to examine. So I'd like to conclude by saying that what we found in this study is that the awareness and receipt of FINNY was relatively low across the four study groups. However, we did see some modest increases in monthly fruit and vegetable expenditures, while we did not see any measurable impact on daily consumption for various reasons. What we are excited about is that the 2018 Farm Bill provided funding to continue the FINNY grant program. And we're looking forward to research that might be coming out of that GUS-NIP program to understand the extent to which the grantees are able to market the program more effectively, and if this actually has any impact on awareness as well as use of incentives, which would ultimately lead not only to increase in purchases, but also consumption and food security. Thank you so much. And now I will be passing it on to Rachel for any questions and comments. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was so interesting to hear about this project. So the first question that we have, and if people have questions, please go ahead and type those in the question box now. The first question is, can we access the FINNY retailer map?
Yes, it's actually in the interim report.
Okay, so that's something that people can get to.
Yeah, and I think that GUSNIP actually has a more updated version of it where they're keeping it real time. So it would actually show you the FINNY retailers currently implementing FINNY.
Okay, thank you. It seemed like a lot of the retailers were in Michigan and New York. Is there a specific reason for that?
So the largest grantees for this program were Wholesome Wave and the one in Michigan, Fair Food Network. And so I told you that there were three different types of grant programs. There was the pilot, the community-based, and the large-scale projects. And so the large-scale projects were Wholesome Wave and Fair Food Network. And they have a lot of retailers in that area. And it was a matter of where their FINNY retailers were located.
That makes a lot of sense. And I guess it wasn't New York. It was more east of that. Mm-hmm. And then another question was, it seems that the most participants were unemployed and unmarried, meaning they would have no second source of income. Would you have any information on how they were managing household expenditures?
No, we don't. We did have some questions to ask about how would they describe their household financial situation. And most people did not have favorable responses to that, suggesting that they were actually struggling to make ends meet.
Thank you. And then another question was, what was the ethnic makeup of the participants of interest?
It was a mixed demographic. So I wish I had that slide, but we had whites, African Americans, as well as Hispanics. We did not have those many Asians or Native minority.
Okay, thank you. And then another question that I wanted to ask, so it seemed like there was more participation with the farmers markets, and was there more, and you said it was based on, seemed to be based on the number of people that heard about it or the number of places they had heard about it. Was there more advertising with the farmers markets, or do you think there was something else going on there?
So when you look at the word of mouth, I think that for the farmers markets, the word of mouth is the most critical. And I want to emphasize this, that so this is the farmers market group. And if you go to a farmers market, the market manager is more likely to tell you when you go to exchange your SNAP dollars for tokens, they're the most likely to tell you, hey, we have this Finney program and you get the double up food box, blah, 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 blah. So for these people, the word of mouth was the most important source of information. And for the farmers market general group, these are the people who live near a farmers market, but they may not shop there for reasons such as, oh, I think that farmers market produce is very expensive, or they don't have the type of things I want, whatever it might be. They knew that Finney was being implemented, but they relied more on direct marketing. So they knew about Finney through a different source. And that's the difference. If you shop there, then word of mouth becomes more common. But if you don't shop there, then direct marketing is a more important channel. Did I answer your question or did I miss it?
Yeah, it did. And it seems like there was probably more discussions going on among people attending farmers markets than there were going to the grocery store.
Exactly. Yes, that's true. So there were relatively few grocery stores. And I think that if you consider or imagine the situation where you have a farmers market, there is one market manager or maybe two or three, whatever the case might be, but the transaction is more where the market manager gives you the tokens or coupons in exchange for your SNAP dollars, and then they give you the Finney bucks. For the grocery stores, the incentive could have been offered as a point of sale discount. It could have been offered as a coupon for future use, which might be printed at the end of the receipt. And if you think about the implementation of Finney at the grocery store, there are a lot more cashier lanes than there are market managers. And so to try and train that level of staff at the grocery stores where every single line staff is aware of Finney and communicates that when the shopper line sometimes gets really long is really challenging. And that explains some of the difference between word of mouth for farmers markets versus grocery stores.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then another question for at the grocery stores or even at the farmers market, you said there were different ways that could be selected for how the benefits were received. Did you find which type seemed to work better? Or were you able to examine that?
Yeah, we did. But unfortunately, even though there were different types, farmers markets were the predominant type of retailers, and most of them were offering tokens.
Okay.
So we could not fine-tune that, and some of that analysis will be presented in the final report.
Excellent. I will look forward to looking through that. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing this project with us today and sharing your expertise. I know I've learned a lot. Thanks for kicking off our first session of this journal club. At this point, I can hand it back to Rachel.
Thank you.
Yes. Excellent presentation. Thank you. Just a reminder, when I close out the webinar, there'll be a short survey, and we appreciate your feedback on this session, as well as ideas for future webinars. Watch for an email later this week with a link to your CEU certificate and the recording. And then just a reminder, Journal Club has kicked off, so we will be back almost every Monday through the rest of the semester at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Although I will give you a heads up, we do have an overseas presenter. So I think it's session 4 that's going to be held in the morning. But so please check that when you register to attend on the SNAB website. And we look forward to seeing you back at a future Journal Club.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to present.
Thank you.